Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
Yes, we do. All sorts of comics.
All kinds. Good ones, bad ones, you love them, you hate them,
and
all sorts
one.
Of things. And whatever this was, we'll leave all our opinions for the actual review. But after that, we got, you know, Background Who Matters, the poll list, and we start with the news. What you got for news, Nathan?
Big news, Daniel.
Yeah.
Deadpool and Wolverine, they're getting a movie later. I'm sure you knew about that, but they're also getting a comic book now called Deadpool Wolverine World War II.
World War III.
they're doing the next one.
I know that because I told you about it.
Yes. Last week.
On here.
Wait, when did you tell me?
On news.
Oh, dude, I was so excited. When I saw this,
I showed you a cover for it.
You did?
Yeah.
No.
Your memory is starting to concern me.
Dude, I don't have good memory. That's what I've realized.
I heard from a doctor on a TikTok that you're supposed to, when you're doing cardio, you should be talking too. And it's good.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, no one wants to run with me.
Well,
should I talk to myself?
That could work.
I should talk to one of those like AI things.
Ooh. I tried talking to one of those on like Snapchat and it's a fucking dipshit.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It's not very smart.
I'm like, give me a good comic to read. And it's like, you should be Batman. I'm like, fuck off.
Like, oh shit.
Yeah, I'm like, give me an independent comic to read. It's like, read Saga. I'm like, I've read Saga already. They're like, read Chew. I'm like, I've read Chew already.
These are good recommendations.
And then it goes back to like Saga. I'm like, dude.
Well, maybe you should read Saga again. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's a sign. Yeah.
Yeah.
Time for a reread. It's been almost 2 years. Or has been 2 years.
Yeah. Want to hear something exhausting? Marvel's X-Men and Uncanny X-Men comics to ship 18 issues a year each. So the new shit coming out.
Was it like every 3 weeks or something?
Yeah. I think.
They added more months to the year?
Yeah, dude. Isn't that crazy?
Are you going to be reading those?
I'm gonna try.
Damn.
But I'm not gonna try for very hard.
Because Uncanny is like Al Ewing, right?
Eve Ewing,
right.
How dare you?
And then who's on Normal X-Men?
Jed McKay and Ryan Stegman.
Yeah, how the fuck are that means fill-in artists? Dude?
It's got to be fill-in artists, you know. Maybe he's got a good five or six in him, you know. But
I need to work at Marvel to be like. No.
Just no, right?
That's bad. No one wants that.
I don't know why.
Unless you have like super cool artists filling in, you know? Like how fucking... Remember when like Doc Shaner filled in for the Terrifics?
Yeah.
You know, for Ivan Reese or whatever?
Was it Ivan that did the... I thought it was Doc Shaner that did the original Terrifics.
The whole thing, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it Ivan?
I think so. Yeah, he did like some fill-in issues and they're really fucking sick.
I mean, to be fair, I think whenever they try and have a fill-in artist, they're not like, oh, let's get this shitty guy. You know, they try and get somebody pretty good, but it would have to be someone like fairly elite if they really want this like reboot to work.
Yeah, maybe. Or they're just short or something. But
yeah,
that's dumb. I don't agree with it.
Me neither.
Nathan, speaking of a lot of comics.
Yes.
Scalped is getting an omnibus.
That's good.
Of the first 29 issues. Or wow. I guess it's all of it.
That sounds about right. Yeah. I was like, I think it wasn't much more than 29. So yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, an omnibus with all of it coming out in November.
That's cool. Thanks. That'll be a good collection. I'm surprised they don't have that already.
Yeah, you know.
Are they still working on that TV show?
I don't know.
I know that there was like stuff filmed because Jason Aaron posted like a chair, like a director's chair looking thing, but it had his name on it and it was like on set. So I don't know. Maybe it got canceled or paused or something, but
maybe.
Yeah. We got a first look at the Batman versus Spawn movie, the animated movie.
There's an animated movie for that?
Yeah, it's going to feature the voices of Keith David as Spawn and Roger Craig Smith as Batman.
Nice.
Yeah, so that'll be pretty cool. I mean, the first look was just like them standing there, but it looks pretty good.
I like Keith David.
Yeah, I like Keith David too.
He's great Spawn.
Yeah, 100%. He's got such a good voice.
Like one of the best in the biz. Mm-hmm.
Easily.
Yeah, then we got a big rest in peace to Chance Perdomo.
Yeah.
He plays Andre in the Gen V show, the one that just came out.
Yeah.
And he passed tragically in a motorcycle accident.
That's fucked up, dude.
Which is awful.
Yeah, it's terrible. He was so good in that show.
Yeah, he's excellent. I'm like, I can't wait to see this guy in like other stuff.
I know. You know? Like I was watching and I was like, this guy's got it. You know? So I don't know, fucked up. Like, so you know, obviously way too young and unfortunate. And so I saw the nice messages from all the Gen V cast people and stuff, but that is crazy.
Yeah.
Dan, another rest in peace.
Yeah.
To Ed Piskor, who was the host of Comics Kayfabe. Is that what it's called?
Cartoonist Kayfabe.
Mm-hmm. And he also did like Hip Hop Family Tree and
Red Room
and X-Men Grand Design.
Yeah.
Did he do Hulk Grand Design?
That was Jim Rugg. The other person on that YouTube channel.
Yeah. Crazy, you know, timeline of events just like from the last month or so with Ed Piskor was like some stuff coming out about.
I didn't even hear about any of this until like I heard that this might have happened.
Yeah.
You know, and then I like had to get caught up.
Yeah, it was crazy. Apparently, well, I don't know like necessarily the full story from like both sides, but just from what I saw.
There were some allegations and he got a bunch of shit for it.
Yeah, definitely. And he took his own life like a couple days ago as of recording.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre. And he posted like a 5-page note and I read it all.
It was 5 pages?
It was like 5 pages.
Oh, I just saw like a little blurb. I thought it was like a Facebook post or something.
It was like a Facebook post, but it was like a Google Doc thing that was like posted and you could like read it and it's crazy. And like that dude, his life was comics for sure.
Yeah, he loved comics.
And so like, I think when he felt all the heat that he was getting online and stuff, it just like wasn't, you know, worth it anymore, I guess. Or he just decided that this was the best path to take.
Yeah.
Which it never is.
Yeah.
But, his, you know, super unfortunate.
Yeah. His channel is really, really good. It was super in depth and a lot of like insider knowledge kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
After like the allegations were coming out, Jim Rugg like left like the channel and then posted anything for a while.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
And so when it like gets to that point, I'm like, that sounds kind of serious, you know, when people are like cutting ties with them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless of what he did, like suicide definitely isn't the answer.
Definitely not. Also, just don't like it's not your job on the internet to be like, fuck this guy, like super vocally.
Yeah.
You know, you could just decide not to support him if you know, decide that his actions aren't what you like or whatever. So I don't know. It's great. He does. He just writing it down, you could tell that he's like so checked out. And he was like talking about the typical thing of like how he was like a lot happier because he had already kind of given up. And so I don't know, this is a crazy thing to read.
Yeah, that sounds brutal.
So yeah, very just unfortunate situation.
Yeah, definitely. Nathan, Julia Gardner, you might know her from Ozark.
I watched a couple episodes, yeah.
You know, like the blonde girl that he like starts like, that like helps him out or something. She's like lives in like the Ozarks.
No, but
look up Julia Gardner.
I feel like I've heard her name.
She was cast as Shala Val in the upcoming Fantastic Four movie, which is like the female incarnation of Silver Surfer.
There's a female version?
I guess so. Oh. Yeah, I learned that today too. I'm like, yeah, why not? But
sure. Shala Val. Let's take a look here. What do we got?
Yeah, she's like a good actor, so I definitely think she could like pull it off, and I feel like she could.
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, I guess it is like a female version. I don't know. I don't know enough about Silver Surfer.
Neither do I.
I've just discovered. I think she's a person first, and then maybe he does something to make her all silvery and shit.
Oh, so, interesting.
Because in most of the pictures that come up, it's her in like human form, but yeah.
Gotcha.
There's definitely a version of her that's like all chrome and shit.
Okay.
It'd be cool if she was bald too. Because yeah. She's got like chrome hair and I don't know if
it's just Silver Surfer with tits. What you want?
Well, yeah. Okay, cool.
So that came out like as we were waiting.
So does that mean
start recording?
So does that mean
no
Galactus or no Galactus?
Potentially Galactus.
Okay.
Does that mean no Norn Rad?
I would love some Norn Rad.
Would be pretty rad
because I still want to do that cosplay idea I had of being Norn Rad.
Yeah,
and I would be like a surfer dude, but like just spray painted in chrome.
Yeah,
and I have like a longboard or something.
Exactly. So but we'll see how that goes.
Very interesting.
My first thought was like, Like it came out today, and I'm like, is this an April Fool's thing? I don't know. Like, but it seemed pretty like official.
It seems pretty official, yeah. Just from random news things I just looked up. But I think I prefer just regular Silver Surfer. So just
what,
like,
what are you,
visually,
sexist, Nathan?
Pretty sexist, I'm feeling right now. Yeah. just because, I don't know. But, you know, everything can be good.
Yeah.
Did you see the Dead Boy Detectives trailer?
I did not see it, but I saw it on IMDb when we were looking up the guy from, is it Cake?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, hey, so like,
did you watch the trailer?
No, did you?
Yeah, it looks pretty good. Comes out April 25th.
It does.
So that's pretty soon.
Is that, I don't know if you got this far in Doom Patrol, but is it the same kids from that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It seems to be within the Netflix Sandman universe.
Oh, it's coming out on Netflix?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Because
that's probably better.
It's like a Sandman thing. That's like,
okay. Because yeah,
well, they're connecting it to that universe or whatever. So
yeah. No, it is Sandman universe. But they were in like Doom Patrol, and they had like an episode, and it was like a really fucking cool episode.
Oh,
I think it was like season 3 or maybe season 2.
No, different guys.
Okay, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Should we read Dead Boy Detectives?
I think we should. It sounds good. I watched the trailer and I was like, this is kind of cool. You know,
because Pornsack Peaches Show did a run.
Yeah, he did.
So that'd be cool.
Yeah,
we probably pronounce that wrong, but
let's get him on.
Yeah,
I'd be so scared. I'm like, you're a smart writer.
I like the dog book.
I like the book with the dog and he's got a rocket on his back.
Yeah.
You know, Death in the Family, the Robin gets killed.
Yeah.
They are going to release DC Vault : Death in the Family : Robin Lives! ! Which is going to be a 4-issue series written by J.M. DeMatteis with art by Rick Leonardi that will explore more in depth the alternate ending where Jason Todd lives and goes for revenge against the Joker.
I hope that comes out like after they release that issue.
I think they will. But for those that don't know, in like the 80s, DC like had the idea to do like a call-in number for people to decide if Robin should die in like the next issue or if he shouldn't. And you'd have to like call in and vote, like it was American Idol. And everybody voted to like kill him, I guess. Because I don't think DC really knew what to do with him at that point. Because he was kind of like a Robin, but...
It was pretty close, actually.
It was.
Like a few percentages, I think.
Yeah. And so they had two versions of, you know, each result. And they're about to release... Or I thought they maybe already had released the version where he lives. But it's just one issue.
Yeah. Didn't get past that point.
But now...
I haven't seen it if they did.
No, it was... It says right here, it's Batman 428 was released in December of 2023, featuring an alternate ending in which Jason lives. But now this
It came out last year?
Yeah, in December.
Oh, shit.
So.
You know what? I think I saw that and I'm like, why are they re-releasing
it? It's like
that?
A facsimile edition.
So
it looks the exact same, maybe, like same cover.
Oh, it probably has the same fucking cover.
The same cover.
It totally does.
And you got tricked, Daniel.
I got bamboozled.
Yeah. I kind of wish they would do this more. I want to call in and be like, fucking kill Dupe, you know?
Dupe needs to die.
This guy needs... No, not Dupe, but it's bad. It's the first thing I could think of for
it wouldn't
reason.
Even be a call-in thing. It'd be like a poll online or something.
Yeah, like a... Yeah, it would have to be, I feel like.
Not a Twitter poll. That'd be too dangerous.
Yeah. You'd have to like sign into like your DC account and be like, is Green Arrow going to die?
Or
like, is Speedy going to die?
It'd almost be like... I feel like the internet would make like a meme of it and do like the opposite of what everyone wants, you know?
I think that's good marketing.
It's like kill Cyclops or whatever.
That'd be cool. I'll kill Cyclops. But yeah, so that's just going to be expanded into like a more full story because I think the alternate ending version was just that one issue. And so now this is going to expand on what that would look like if that resolved. And
what Jason Todd, after?
Yeah, pretty much. Jason Todd's just going for revenge. So I think it's pretty cool.
Could be boring.
Could be boring. Yeah.
Who's writing that?
J.M. DeMatteis.
Okay.
Who's done some Spider-Man stuff.
Yeah.
Probably some Batman stuff.
I guess that's Marvel.
We've read one of his things here.
No, we haven't.
You sure?
Shut up.
Okay. All right.
I don't think so. I feel like I remember that.
I think he did the Spider-Man with Joe Quesada that we did. What was that
one more
called?
Day? No, that was a Jaskorski or whatever.
That's not a name.
Skinetsky. You know what I'm talking about?
No. Spider-Man One More Day.
Skrenzetsky. It's like a ski.
Sienkiewicz?
No.
One More Day.
He's at Comic-Con last year.
Oh, J. Michael Straczynski.
Yeah, dude, close.
Okay, yeah. Whatever. They're both J names, you know? They like literally both start with J. So it's like, can you really fucking...
That's the only thing you have to connect them. Dumbass last names. What was his last name?
Straczynski?
Straczynski.
That's a cool name, actually.
But it looks terrible in books, dude.
Yeah, I...
It takes up too much room.
It does take up too much room. Also, if I had that name as a kid, I would... hate filling out those fucking bubble sheet forms.
Dude, you'd have you wouldn't have enough room.
Like that's like 9 letters.
That's tough.
More. Holy shit.
It's like that's all news. 13 letters, dude. All right.
Dan, what did we read this week?
We read Trouble, Nathan. Yes, we did. For my birthday book.
Your birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Thanks, dog.
I don't have your gift yet because it's not your actual birthday for real, for real.
Fuck. I was kind of hoping I'd get something. Okay.
Next week.
By Mark Miller and Terry Dodson, Nathan.
Yes. Did he color himself as well?
I don't think so.
Matt Hollingsworth.
Oh,
for
nice.
1-3, and then Brian Reber for 4 and 5, and then Chris Eliopoulos. He's in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's doing it a long time. What do you think, Nathan?
Trouble fucking finishing this, Daniel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
I think it just wasn't good. I'll be honest.
Dude, you know, I knew what was going to happen, and that's kind of why I wanted to read it, you know?
I figured it out, like, first issue.
Okay, yeah.
Actually, two... big things that happen.
That's fair.
One of them's right on that's the first thing I saw about this book. This is a huge spoiler.
Yeah. Did you see the actual covers for the individual issues? They're like pictures?
Yes.
Bizarre.
I have lore about that.
Cool. We'll get to it.
Okay, we'll get to it.
Dude, Mark Miller probably thought he was cooking with this.
I think he thought he was, yeah, for sure. But yeah. Like, I don't think it's like necessarily a bad idea, like the whole thing. I think it's like a pretty big swing. Because they were trying to do something new.
Yeah.
And I don't really mind. I can't tell if he was going for something like crazy. Or if Marvel wanted to try to do something different and they had to shoehorn it into like Marvel, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's like a thing that happens at the end, which I don't want to.
It kind of feels like that bit of like the Clone Saga that we read in Spider-Man Life Story.
Uh-huh.
Where like Gwen was the clone the whole time or something.
Mm.
Or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Or
there's like a version
or yeah, whatever yeah. The fuck.
One of them.
I was reading this and I'm like, this kind of feels like a Sony movie.
This is just Marvel White Lotus, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's possible. Yeah.
I could see this being like adapted into like a Sony movie. Cause like.
That would be crazy. Cause like and then they just don't say Peter or whatever.
Yeah. They don't. Yeah.
Yeah. So it is like a little boring, you know, because it's like. There's no like action in it. You know, it's like a slice of life book.
And I think they did good in that aspect of it.
Uh-huh.
I just think that there's a lot of problems with how people think in this book.
You know?
I think some of it's like weird. And I'm like, you shouldn't. That's just weird that this is a thing that's happening. And then it's also like, you're the dumbest person alive.
Yeah. You know? They didn't seem like the characteristics of the characters that we know, you know?
Not even that. Well, I think this is... I don't know if it's a spoiler, but this is supposed to be like Ultimate Universe.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
When I was looking it up later, because I was like, what the fuck was this?
I'm glad you did some research on that.
Yeah, let me tell you a little bit about this. So apparently this was part of Marvel's Epic imprint, which was an imprint where people could like, they could use Marvel characters.
Uh-huh.
Or they could do their own original stuff and they would own those properties after.
Is that like where Powers came from or no?
No,
that's
not.
Icon.
That's Icon, which is a different thing. I don't know. This one ended. Epic closed down in 2004, I believe.
Okay.
After Bill Jamos, who had been the driving force behind the imprint, resigned as president of Marvel Comics. So like soon after that, it was done.
Okay, so it's like kind of like Max, I guess, but it's not as serious.
Max is more focused on just mature versions of like their characters.
Uh-huh.
Which this kind of is, kind of not.
Yeah.
But I think it just kind of gave them the room to do that sort of idea. But
I think this is the first Marvel comic that has like sex in it.
No, surely not.
No?
I think
I heard this somewhere.
Other titles from the imprint includes Stray Toasters by Bill Sienkiewicz. He wrote and drew it. and it's about a murder.
Sick.
Story revolves around a criminal psychologist, Egon, and his investigation of a serial killer who seems to be targeting women. I don't know where the toaster comes in, but he does a sweet cover of a toaster.
I thought it was like a Brave Little Toaster.
Dude, it looks like a fucked up version of a Brave Little Toaster. Just
that's
based
what
off,
I want.
I know. I kind of want to read it now.
Maybe that's a serial killer. It's a toaster.
Yeah. We have Dreadstar by Jim Starlin. He did a thing. And Saxon Violins by Peter David and artist George Perez. So, I don't know. They had some interesting stuff going on here. This was, I think, in the 90s or 80s when it started.
Yeah.
So, active from 1982 to 1996, apparently.
Yeah. So, I picked this because from what I've heard, people fucking hate it.
I think it's like...
But, like, think of it as yourself as, like, a diehard, like, Spider-Man fan. You've been reading it for years, and then this shit comes out.
I think it's fine.
Like the what they do or like the book itself?
I think what they do is fine.
I guess. But people don't like it.
I think people are just like, this is different than what I would have expected. But I think this is, I guess. No, it's fine. Honestly, it's fine. I think it's better.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Which we'll talk about it. But Dana, you mentioned that there's weird covers.
Yes.
In this, that was on purpose because they tried to appeal to a female audience, apparently, and they try to make it seem like a romance book, which was selling millions of copies in the 50s, I guess. But all issues of Trouble featured photo covers by French photographer Felipe Villalobos in the style of teen romance novels, which is unusual for American comic book series. And yeah, they're just trying to appeal to a female audience. But apparently it was never... They were going to do a collected edition to heavily promote it in many bookstores, but never published after the series did not do well in the direct market. So,
yeah, I didn't know that there was like a collection because whenever you looked up Trouble, it'd be those covers.
Yeah.
And so, and I don't know when this was like printed. I think it was like, must have been more recently.
I think it was like 2011 is what it said on Wikipedia.
Yeah, and then it had the like the Terry Dodson covers and stuff.
And so I think that was their hard pivot of like, oh, people don't like the pictures. So let's just take one of the things that he drew and make that the cover.
Yeah.
Because Terry Dodson didn't do this cover.
Yeah.
Like he did this panel in the book, but he wasn't like commissioned or whatever to do a full new cover, which I feel like would have been good because this is a huge plot point in the story and it's the first thing I saw. So,
you know,
a crazy.
I don't think I knew the details of these characters that much to where like that cover would be like a spoiler to me, I guess.
I guess I just knew that one of the dudes had long hair and one of the dudes had short hair.
Okay, yeah.
And so I saw that and I was like, oh, well, clearly something changes here.
Right.
But should we get into it?
Yes, we should get into it.
All right, let's get into it. All right, Trouble, issue one. So we're introduced to Ben, Richard, May, and Mary, who are going off to work in the Hamptons for their summer job. They're like high schoolers, I think. Or they just graduated high school?
Yeah.
Something like that. And it's going to be a pretty sweet gig because they get money and they get to pretty much go on vacation because it's like a resort, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Ben and Richie are brothers, and May and Mary are just friends, but they're all excited to go to the Hamptons and start fucking, pretty much, because they're not living at their parents' place anymore, and they can just start fucking.
Yeah.
But the hotel management forbids it, saying that they will be actively looking for people that are trying to be fucking, I guess, because it is a distraction from their work, and they then start to work them super hard at their job. A bit weird how strict the management is, like, on making sure that, like, no one has any sort of relationship at
all.
Yeah,
lame.
Like, what is this, like, Love Island or some shit? And I also wrote Marvel White Lotus. I said that already, but pretty much. Ben and Richie, who room together, set up a sex code thing for their room. So, like, if the drapes are closed, someone's banging in there. If it's open, you're fine, kind of stuff. So, things like that. But they're worried that they won't be able to bone, but they both decide to pursue May and Mary, and they do the teenage trope things like drinking underage and doing some skinny dipping and stuff.
Real quick, did you see the like the Mark Miller billboard?
I did see that.
I thought that was funny.
I think that's funny. Yeah, I think that's funny.
I was like, ah, smart. Because like all the creators are like on billboards and stuff.
Yeah.
And stuff, but him is just like a, I guess, a picture of Mark Miller.
A picture of him, and he's like giving a thumbs up or whatever. I can't remember what it was. But,
he's got
yeah.
like he's like on the beach with the shirt off.
Yeah, I think it's funny. I think it's kind of weird how invested the brothers are in like each other's like sex lives. you know, because they're like, oh man, I can't wait to go fuck. And like, as a brother, they're like, oh my God, oh yeah, you know,
we get so much ass out
it,
here.
Like,
yeah.
It feels like frat dudes talking to each other rather than like two brothers, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if like, if we were in this situation and we're rooming together, I'd be like, dude, I'm horny as fuck right now. It seems weird.
Yeah.
So that was like, this part of their relationship I thought was so strange, like the whole time. Ben and May start doing it, but Mary stops Richie thinking that they're like moving too fast. And that's pretty much this issue. But one of the things that I think really locked in what the twist was at the end is that May says like the famous like Mary Jane line where she's like, face it, tiger, you hit the jackpot. And I was like, that's weird.
Okay.
Because that's supposed to be Mary Jane. And I'm like, is Mary supposed to be Mary Jane? But, you know, it makes more sense when you consider all the other names. But
yeah.
So, yeah.
So Richie, whatever, he's got like dark brown hair and Ben's got like light brown hair. I got them mixed up like a lot.
Yeah, it's very easy to mix them up.
Especially this like skinny dipping scene when they both have like shirts off. The only thing that like really separated them were like these necklaces that they had.
Yeah, I didn't even notice they had two different necklaces.
Yeah.
It's also kind of hard to keep May and Mary straight because they are very similar. And so like it took me until like issue two to like lock in and be like, okay, Mary, blonde. May, redhead, you know?
Yeah.
So it was kind of tough.
Because, like, May's hair is white when you see her in, like, Spider-Man books, and you never see Mary, you know? So I didn't know, like, what her hair color was.
Yeah, what it's supposed to be, yeah. So, issue two, Ben and May are talking after their boning session, and they're, like, just kind of talking, and they're both saving up for things, which is why they took the job, and May wants to get a car or whatever. Meanwhile, Richie, who's, you know, the horn dog that he is, didn't get any action, and he's, like, pissed.
Mm-hmm. He, I don't know if you mentioned this, but Richie, like, lets Ben
have May?
Yeah, and, like, calls her, like, a skank.
Yeah.
He's like, you can have her.
Like, yeah, and then he was like, I'll take Mary. I want, like, a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's pretty shallow, which he's supposed to be. So, like, what he was going for, he nailed, for sure. But I just think it's funny that this is now his situation where it's someone who doesn't want to, like, who wants to be, like, abstinent or whatever.
Yeah.
So, he even calls her damn Bible-thumping, clap-happy, guitar-playing priest. Like, he's just, like, so pissed after she leaves. So, their first payday, they run around, like, the town, and they're, like, acting super wealthy and stuff. They're, like, trying out expensive clothes and expensive cars and stuff for fun. There is a scene, again, just like under the lens that they're both brothers talking to each other. It's weird to talk with your brother to ask if May is as horny as she looks, you know, to be like, to get like the after action report, you know, of like how it was. I just think it's funny.
When they're at this like place, like it's not like they're doing like all the jobs, which is kind of crazy to me.
Yeah, they're like cleaning like the dishes and then like serving, but then like also like picking up towels and shit by the pool.
Yeah. You know? I'm like, I feel like they'd have like the one job the whole time.
Yeah, seems like an understaffed resort, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
They go to like a lake hangout where May and Ben fuck a lot while like just behind a rock, while Mary and Richie are just like talking a few feet away, which is just a very bizarre situation. But Richie finds out that Mary is abstinent because of a palm reader that she went to one time that told her that she would be a mom before she's 20 if she decides to fuck. And this makes Richie very pissed. And I feel like there's still tons of ways to prevent pregnancy if that was, you know, truly what she was worried about.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's protection, you know, and stuff like that in ways to, I don't know. It's just, it made it seem like
miracles can happen.
You know, they can, sure. And this is supposed to be like the 80s or something. So I guess maybe some of that technology is not super developed. I don't know. I wasn't alive. But, you know, I just think it's a funny reason to be like, no sex at all.
There's a bit where they mention like a Superman comic.
Yeah, I do remember that.
10 cents for carrying 8 suitcases up 3 flights of stairs. Man, 10 cents couldn't even buy a freaking Superman comic these days.
I guess they would have to like, I mean, I guess they could just reference like a Captain America comic or something.
Yeah, but they went Superman.
But they went Superman, which is interesting.
Where I guess
I think they were trying to play this off as if it wasn't like in the Marvel universe.
Yeah, and at least in this universe, the DC universe is a fictional universe. That's like a comic book
mm-hmm.
place.
Yeah, I like when they do that though.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, what yeah, about wait, cool. Is that allowed?
The next day, May gets harassed by some like resort customers, and she talks about it with Richie, and she gets all vulnerable with him and stuff, and then Richie and May kiss, which is fucked up because Richie took his brother's girl. You know, Ben's with May.
Yeah.
But Richie and May kissed.
And we get the cover.
And then we get the cover, which is where I was like, so like up to this point, I'm like, okay, on the cover, that's Richie and May.
What's
so
on like, the hardback?
It's just white. It's not anything special.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I kind of knew this like the whole time that I like, at least that panel would happen, you know, cause it's the cover. So not a big surprise, but still pretty fucked up. So then issue 3, May and Richie keep fucking while their partners are like, it's like a compilation of like them fucking and then like their partners who aren't cheating are like gassing them up about how great their partners are or whatever.
Yeah.
May and Richie don't even like each other. They discover, but they just like to be fuck buddies, I guess.
Yeah, they just hate fucking.
Yeah. And then May talks to Mary about cheating on Ben, but May keeps her new man a mystery. And I think that makes it a little bit obvious, doesn't it? It's like she's talking to the person whose boy is cheating on her. And she's like, I can't tell you who the mystery man is.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't that hidden detail make it like a little bit weird? Just say his name's like Steve or something, right?
I mean, I don't know if like Mary would pick up on that based off of that, you know?
But if May's bringing it up, she's like, I'm cheating on Ben. Your natural thing, your natural next question would be like, who is it? And then for her to be like, oh, it's a mystery. You know, it's like, why bring it up with her in the first place?
Yeah. Just to vent,
which
I guess.
To me, you know, Mary should be like, oh, well, she doesn't want to tell me because it'll hurt me. So then that just, it like narrows it down to one person.
You know? It's not because like, she didn't say it's because she doesn't want to hurt her.
Yeah, I know she didn't say that, but like, why else would you hide it? Like you can make that delineation in your head. You know,
I guess. Yeah. Yeah. So,
I just thought that
people aren't smart in this.
They're not. Know? No. Which I think that was just one of the plot points where I was like, Mary's just fine with like not knowing who this is, I guess. Okay. So Ben and May they're still having sex regularly, but Ben doesn't think, you know, anything's going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They're just bumping uglies
in the golf course, dude.
In the golf course,
in the
sand pit, which
that's like the worst place.
If I were to pick a spot on a golf course to have sex, that would be like the last. That's the last resort.
Yeah, I'd pick like the lake first, you know.
Yeah,
before the sand trap,
or just in the middle of the green. I don't want sand getting in places that I want it to be. You know?
Yeah, in your ass.
Yeah,
no, thank you.
That's what I was referring to. Yeah, but whenever Ben tries talking about the future, May just immediately shuts it down. Later, Ben finds out from Mary about May getting harassed by those people in the resort. And then Ben goes to fight those guys, but he just gets his ass kicked, which apparently happens a lot. He's always being sent to the hospital for getting his ass kicked a bunch.
Yeah, he's got like a fighting problem.
Yeah.
He loves to start fights, but he's never.
He likes
any.
To scrap, but he's not very good at it, like yeah. ever. So, and there's a line that he says when he like walks into the bathroom, which is where the fight happened with those guys in it. And they're like, what do you want? And Ben responds with your chubby ass in the John where I can give it some attention, which is not like that's not like a cool, tough.
When is this supposed to be based?
Where?
When?
It's like the 80s or 70s or something.
Okay. Yeah, I guess so.
So it's like, I think it's supposed to be like that sort of corny, like tough guy language.
Yeah.
But like, telling a guy that he's going to give an ass some attention is very funny to me.
I'm going to use that next time I'm in a fight.
Give me your chubby ass so I can give it some attention. So when Ben is back from the hospital and he's got his neck brace, he walks in on Richie banging, but he assumes that it was Mary.
They cover up.
They cover up and he's like, oh, that must be Mary. But he didn't see that it was May because it was like a little bit dark or whatever. So he leaves. But Mary starts walking up at the same time, and Ben's like, I thought you were in the room just now. And so Ben's like a homie, and he directs her away from the room so she doesn't see Richie cheating. But later, May finds out she's pregnant, and she admits it to Mary. Crazy stuff.
It's crazy that you're like covering for your brother that's cheating, or that's like sleeping with your girl.
He didn't know.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy. But it's just
the irony of the situation. For Ben to cover up Richie cheating, it is pretty funny.
Right.
The excuse was terrible, though. He's like, oh, the guys on the hockey team are in there and their dicks are out.
Or the lacrosse team.
Or lacrosse
and
team,
then she looks over and the lacrosse team's like playing lacrosse.
It's like there. Yeah. Like you have time to go in for like a minute. Even if they are going to go into your room and strip naked, you got some time. Also, the drapes are open, which is not part of their code. I don't know if you noticed this, but that's why Ben walks in. Because in that scene, look at drapes fucking open. And I think Richie established those rules too. So he's not very good at hiding it.
Mm. At least Terry Dodson's got the continuity right. You know?
Yeah, he does. You could tell that he framed that specific panel to be like, okay,
right.
I need the readers to know the drapes are open. So this could have been avoided. But yeah, May's pregnant. And in issue 4, she's getting some morning sickness. Mary tries to help her through everything, but still doesn't know who the mystery man is, which is crazy. Because now she's trying to help him out with the pregnancy, and May doesn't know who the father is. But she also won't tell Mary who the second possibility is, which is crazy. But
right.
But since the fortune teller was wrong about May never becoming a mom, she decides to get it on with Richie a lot. And there's this really, I think my favorite sequence in this is when Richie and Mary start having sex for the first time, a lot. And there's these four panels that are just representative of sex. And yeah. it's waves hitting a big rock or fireworks or mixing in a big bowl. that part made me chuckle because it's just very funny metaphors.
I'm like, yeah, that's what I think of too.
Yeah. I think of flowers blooming, but.
Or fireworks going off.
Yeah. The fireworks is funny. I could see.
Ship.
I could see the mixing of the bowl or whatever, maybe for the noise.
Yeah.
It's just funny. So now that Richie and Mary are having sex, Richie breaks it off with May now that he's getting his dick wet. And when May tells Ben about being pregnant, Ben tells May that he's sterile from all the times he's been beaten up in his life.
Yeah.
This was also obvious to me.
What, that he's sterile?
I think not maybe necessarily that he was sterile, but I knew there had to be some sort of gotcha to where Ben knew that he wasn't the one that got her pregnant or something. And so I was maybe he can't have a kid.
Well, it was one of those things where he's like, I got something to tell you. And she's like, I got something to tell you. But she goes first and he drops his thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he's like, oh, I got you here.
And just
he was the
pacing of it's very funny because she's like, I'm pregnant. Your turn. He's like, I'm sterile. right after.
That's a weird panel.
I feel like this panel didn't hit in the way that Terry Donson maybe wanted it to.
Why does he look like that?
Yeah, it's just the shading of they should have just shaded that everything to the left of that weird shading line that they did.
Yeah.
It would have been a little bit better, I think. But it looks like he has guy liner on, uh-huh. as well. But yeah. So apparently one of the times he was in a fight, he got racked in the nuts really hard. So now he's sterile.
I guess so.
So
now that Ben knows, he leaves the resort or whatever.
Yeah, he packs up, leaves, and Richie tries apologizing, but it doesn't really change anything, obviously. May goes to an abortion consultation thing and has to decide whether or not to keep the baby. And she
If it's not abundantly clear where she is, at her this point in her life, and that she's in a doctor's office. There's abortion pamphlets on her nightstand, and there's three different kinds for some reason for this one doctor's office. We get it.
What kinds of abortion?
We know what options are.
They never made the character say it, but I think they were worried that we wouldn't figure out what was going on.
Yeah.
And so they just wrote.
Could just be a normal doctor visit.
Three pamphlets that say abortion on it. Maybe that'll clear it up, which is crazy. So she ultimately decides that the best option is to run away. Not tell anybody, but leave a note that she's keeping the baby.
Dude, and it was a long ass note.
It was a long note.
I was like,
did you read all of it?
Yeah.
I did too. I thought it was fine, but.
It wasn't that bad, but it's practically a page.
And then May starts hitchhiking with some sketchy dude. Here's a thing that I think would have been good in this book. Ben is notorious for getting in fights for a lot less than his girl getting cheated on. I felt like it would have been good if maybe Ben got into a fight with Richie. Because that seems a natural thing to do for this dude's character. But he just leaves and he's I don't accept your apology. And he just like leaves. It's a very tame thing for him to do. And I think this would have like, been.
Yeah, it's boring. At least see him scrap a little, you know. Yeah.
And he's bad at fighting. So it would have made more sense for them to have like a tough relationship after this if Richie beats the fuck out of him too.
Or if like if he lets like Ben win, then it kind of shows how sorry he is.
Yeah. You know? That's also an interesting thing to do with those two characters too. But that entire, you know, opportunity is just not elaborated on it all.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Also, this was not the best option for May to take.
Yeah,
she's like, do I keep it or, and you know,
because she can't like go home because like her parents are like super religious and like
she thinks
she I guess she comes from a very broken home kind of thing where there's a lot of like
abuse,
so,
and she
like physical abuse for like her and like her mother if this were to go down.
Yeah, she said her main motivation of like not telling her parents is that she was scared that if she did, her dad would beat up her mom. And I don't really know how that would have like gotten there. I don't know. I don't have abusive parents. So maybe that's how they operate. But thankfully, shout out mom and dad. Right. But anyway, issue 5. So May stays with that sketchy dude at his place, but she doesn't tell him about the baby. So she kind of has like a limited time to stay with this dude who thinks he's going to get sex or something. But, and then May calls her parents from a public phone, but does the thing where she doesn't like say anything. And then she's too scared the baby will cause her dad to abuse her mom or something. But May ultimately sets up a meeting with Mary where Mary, you know, they meet and Mary just grills her for like everything that she does or that she had done up to that point.
And Mary, like, hopes that she gets, like, domestically abused with, like, with this dude she's with now.
She did say that.
I'm like, come on. I don't know. You know.
I think, you know, her being angry, totally valid. That's a crazy thing to say to someone, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I also don't feel bad for May at all. You know, she's, like, got these sunglasses on. She's like, I'm crying behind these sunglasses or whatever. And I'm like, you're a bad person, you know. Because they fucked 47 times, they say that.
Jeez.
So that's how many times, you know, Mary got cheated on. But, you know, despite all that, May still asks Mary for her help to try and like figure this out. And then we cut to like a couple months later to Richie, who has been nonstop writing and apologizing to Mary, but hasn't gotten any response back. But Mary shows up to the house with the baby, telling him that it's his and that she found out after everything happened. And if he's serious about a future with her, then they should stay together and be parents. And like he would be a parent for this child that he didn't even know he had, which would confirm that Richie actually loves Mary, which is a crazy, like thing. So Mary's like for real about this. She like essentially adopted this baby or like, we'll take this baby and act like it's hers.
She just like gaslights him into thinking like it's his, you know? Yeah. He's like, wait a minute. And she's like, nope.
And then like, what's funny is that she's like, wow, look at this baby. It looks just like your dad, doesn't it? And it's like, yeah, because it's Ben's and they're brothers.
So. Yeah, that's his actual grandpa.
It's insane. But what's weird to me is because the whole reason she was avoiding having sex was to not become a mother before she was 20.
Right.
And then she just decides to drop everything and take this baby.
And so this palm reader's right the whole time.
Yeah, that was like part of it, which I think deep, is like, yeah, whoa, you know, he was right the whole time. Because it was like just vague enough language where it'd still work in this particular situation. But yeah, I don't even necessarily mind that part. I just think that like the fact that she didn't want a baby so bad to the point where she wouldn't even risk it with having sex like one time, even with protection. And now she's like, I'll take the baby.
Yeah.
Let me make sure Richie actually loves me, you know, which is bizarre.
And then they have like a long marriage after that.
Yeah, a nice healthy marriage apparently. But we cut to the wedding of Richie and Mary and their new son Peter Parker.
Yep.
And May runs into Ben, who's like super successful now, and he has a hot date who's also probably rich. And you know, May keeps up with the story that she lost the baby that, you know, everybody thought she was pregnant with. But Ben still asks May if May ever got that car that she was saving up for at the resort, which I think is to show that he like remembers that detail and like still cares about her or whatever, so that they'd eventually like end up together. But that's pretty much it. So yeah, the big twist is that this is the story of how Peter Parker was conceived, and that May, Aunt May, is the real mother of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Which I think is fine. Because, like,
it technically works.
Yeah, I think it works. I think it's fine. I mean, they still have, like, a familial relationship or whatever. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
To me, that much. I mean, he'd probably like to know. Probably. If this is what happened.
Yeah. Did you see that, like, Bucky Barnes was at this wedding?
Yeah, I don't know what that was about.
I guess, like, he was...
Because he would have been dead at this point.
He was... Well, I don't think he was ever frozen or whatever.
It doesn't seem like it.
But in, like, the 70s, I guess he might be... He looks old. Yes. And I guess he was, like, old friends with, like... Richie's dad's dad. So Richie's grandpa or whatever.
Is Richie's grandpa Captain America?
I don't think so. So there was like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was like a weird thing to like throw in, but I don't know what the significance of that is.
Yeah, no, it's like stupid. I'm like,
yeah, there's like no reason for it to be there.
She probably thought people were reading this and they're like, what? You know, yeah. Like Bucky? You know, and so it was just like a whole thing, and it was,
yeah. So Did you know what this twist was going into it?
You know, I knew about the sleeping around thing, but
did you know what, like, the
I knew that there was like going to be like a baby coming, but I wasn't sure if like I remembered that correctly, that it was going to be Peter the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like some switch, because it just didn't feel like there's enough time for that to play out the way I thought.
It didn't.
But then, yeah, I ended up knowing like both twists or whatever.
Because like she's only pregnant for issues 4 and 5.
Right.
And like all of issue 4, she's like barely pregnant, you know.
And there's like a time jump in 5. Or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, pretty much. So I pieced this together about issue 2, like as soon as I got their name straight, because I'm like, Ben and May, those are familiar names.
Yeah.
They must have, you know, baby together. I didn't know like Spider-Man's parents' names. I didn't know there was like Richard and Mary. I don't know if it is like for real.
I think it is. I think Richard's right.
That sounds right. And then like, you know, Ben and May fucking, like, that's not exactly like subtle either, because it's like they're clearly like together in some way.
Yeah,
especially when May said the MJ line at the end, I'm like, okay, they're clearly,
maybe it's like a family, around family Spider-Man. Motto or something.
That's a weird family motto. That's our thing.
Or
also, like,
or maybe it's,
what's our family motto? We don't have one of those.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so it wasn't subtle that this was like Spider-Man centric in some way to me, and so I'm like, okay, she's pregnant. Must be Peter. but, you know.
I was like, well, I was like giving it like the benefit of the doubt kind of thing. I'm like, I don't know how this is going to pan out. Like, I've just heard, you know. So maybe he has like a cousin out there somewhere. Or like she does get an abortion. And because that was like what the best thing was for her or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so.
That just shows that you shouldn't get abortions because your kid could be Spider-Man.
You could be Spider-Man.
That's what the far right wants you to think.
Yeah.
What was the controversy behind this? I feel like,
I thought
originally was going to be is that there'd just be a lot of like actual explicit sex and stuff. Like you'd see dick in a bunch of hole.
It's just like the,
but it's just the fact that
it's twisting around what people know. People don't like change, you know, especially for like a 6-year-old character or however old Spider-Man.
Yeah, but
is.
She's fucking at some point, you know, she's young. I think, yeah, it's fine.
But I don't know. I think it's like,
it's just the fact that
I know
she's
that
a
me
huge
and you
cheater.
Don't give a shit because like we haven't been reading comics as long as comics have been around.
Yeah.
But like I think when you're like a seasoned reader and you read this, you're not going to fucking like it.
Yeah. But what I'm confused is like what part of it? Like do they not like that May is like a huge cheater?
Yeah. Cheater. And then also that they just changed like
the origin of who the
parents are.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was like the main thing. So sure. You don't have to like agree with it, but that's just like what it was.
Okay.
You know?
I was just confused because yeah. Because it for the most
and
part,
it's not a
fine.
Good comic, you know.
No,
so it would be annoying to buy this, you know.
Yeah,
and then just you're just like, what the fuck was that? Yeah, I wouldn't be stoked about that.
I had never heard about this book.
I'm glad,
but like even though it was kind of like a swing and a miss for me, I still appreciate the swing. You know, like they were going for something.
It's like technically all like the loose ends are tied up, and it, you know, giving me that it's like an alternate universe kind of makes it a little bit better.
I think they might have just said that after the fact.
Probably. Like,
it's ultimate.
Yeah.
6616. Sorry. But what I was trying to find out is was this just supposed to be like a regular like drama book that Marvel was trying to do like a romance book, and they decided to shoehorn in some significance like after the original idea was there? Or did they have the idea of like, let's do an origin for like Ben and May getting together?
It didn't say anything like that online.
It didn't. I think they said that the original idea was come up or was made by like Joe Quesada or something, which makes me think that it was just like, let's do an origin for Ben and May Parker, you know, but I don't know.
Cause it seems weird. Like this would be something that Mark Miller would like pitch. So I do think they're trying to go for the romance thing.
Yeah.
And then this is just kind of something in there, and then they're putting in something that's familiar,
mm-hmm.
you know?
But I don't think this was like Mark Miller's idea from the beginning.
That's no. What
it feels like to me. And he was just like the hired gun.
I have like a little bit more faith in him than that, you know?
Yeah. And I think,
but I also like that he wrote this too.
Yeah. I think he did good with what he had, you know?
But overall, it's
I mean, there's like some pretty big plot holes in there, but like if he was given the goal of like make the twist at the end that May and Ben are the actual parents of Peter Parker.
Well, it's May and Richie.
No, May and Ben are the actual parents of Peter Parker. Or sorry.
Ben Sterrell.
Yeah, sorry. May and Richie, you're right.
Yeah.
But like make it like that. That's a twist. And then I think you did fine. But
yeah, you know,
there's still like random plot holes that are just like weird to analyze. But whatever. Yeah, I think it's
like
fine.
There wasn't like it wasn't like written well, like some of the dialogue, because yeah. It's like, oh yeah, and then like there was no reasoning behind a lot of stuff. Like these, I know they're like dumb kids or whatever, but they're like super fucking dumb.
Yeah, very dumb. I agree.
But anyway, back matters. Was there back matter?
No
back matter.
There's like creator bios.
Oh yeah,
and they're like, yeah, Mark Miller's done a lot, and I forget what Terry Dodson. What it said for him, but he's great. He's really good. We didn't really talk about his artwork in this, but I think he's great. He's really good at like the emotions of like the characters.
Yeah, he does that well. I heard he's like really good at like superhero stuff, not necessarily like slice of life stuff.
I think he's good at like just at least the expression of like the characters. Like I could see him doing like a regular drama comic.
What's he like famous for? Because I know the name.
He's doing a lot of stuff. Adventure Man with Matt Fraction. I think is what it's called.
Okay, yeah.
He did a book with Chip Zdarsky, which was the X-Men Fantastic Four book when the Krakoa stuff was first starting, and he's really good in that. I think he's done his own creator-owned stuff before that you probably would have recognized, but that's everything I can think of at the top of my head.
Trouble is the second thing that comes up on his Wikipedia.
Really? That's interesting to me.
But as far as his like most famous stuff, I guess.
Yeah, he's great.
So what do you rate this book, Nathan?
I would rate it like a resort cocktail that you order.
Okay.
But they do like they cook like a little bit too much of something in there. Like maybe you order like a mojito.
Uh-huh.
And they do like just too much ginger beer. And you're like, this is like a little bit bitter. You know?
Okay.
Like you expect like, but it's like something you order that you've never tried before, but they fuck it up.
Okay.
I guess.
So similar thing. You've been to an all-inclusive, haven't you?
Resort?
Yeah.
I think so.
So I like had one experience with that, and I currently don't like them just because like the food is free, but it's not very good.
Okay.
So I'd say like all-inclusive like chicken sandwich or something.
Okay.
Yeah. Something that you enjoy when it's made at like a place that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But like at this all-inclusive place, wherever you are, might not be their specialty.
Yeah,
it's just like fine. It's like okay. It's just like
that's not what they're known for.
Yeah, you know,
the style of cooking or
like
whatever.
You are fed, and you're probably not gonna get sick from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but definitely not getting it again.
What's that expensive all inclusive resort? The Four Seasons?
Is that all inclusive? I thought that was like a hotel.
It's like a hotel, but it's like, I don't know. It's expensive. I know. I stayed there one time. They had good stuff.
I
didn't pay for it, but
so when I was in Mexico in Cancun, we were at an all-inclusive, right? And they have like different little restaurants, and there are different types of food at each one.
Okay.
Right? One of them was like an Italian place, right? They have like pastas and stuff. I ordered like a sausage pizza,
mm-hmm.
right? And the pizza comes out, and there's cut up pieces of hot dog on there.
That's awesome.
And that's the sausage part.
Yeah. Because it's like white people
pizza. Pork, I guess. I don't know. And so I was just like
this is sausage. I don't know.
I was like, oh my God.
That's so funny.
I was like, I fucking hate this place.
It's like a divorced dad tries to make pizza from scratch.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Anyway. So thanks for doing that.
Yeah, that was I like it. It was a good choice of something to read.
Right.
Because it's weird and I never heard of it. Very obscure. I like that shit. I didn't even know Epic was a whole ass imprint.
That's the first time hearing it. Yeah.
Nothing super famous like came from it, it sounded like. So it
this might be the most famous one.
It probably is, yeah.
It doesn't even say Epic anywhere.
No, they tried to fucking hide it on there, but it was like an Epic imprint thing.
It was an Epic fail, Nathan.
Yeah. Nice.
I got him. All right. Let's get into the poll list, colon.
Shove it in your box.
The poll list. What did you shove in your box?
Did you get anything this week?
I picked up Batman.
Batman what? Oh, just Batman.
Just one. Batman, the regular.
Yeah, okay.
Batman regular, as it's called. And then I picked up the reprint of Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees.
Ooh.
There's a reprint for...
The Jesse Lonergan cover?
Yeah, I picked that one up.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's awesome.
It is very cool.
Doesn't have anything to do with the book, but it's got his art on it. It's really good.
So. Yeah.
But...
Is that number two?
That's
the one you're missing, huh?
That was the one I was missing. Okay, I was missing number two. What's
perfect,
funny
then.
Is that the day before I bought number two digitally.
Oh.
But I was... And so like I read number two and three this week.
Okay.
But when I went to the store, I was like, I should just get number two so I can have like everything in print, you know? So,
is four out?
I don't know.
I think it is.
I only had time to read two and three. I don't know. But okay. Let me see.
Yeah, I read three as well.
It says cover date March 24th. So I think it came out last week.
Okay, gotcha.
Or 2 weeks ago or something.
Whatever.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
I read two and three, and I feel like it's like it gets better from issue one, which I was like a little bit scared about because issue one I think is really fun.
Yeah. I don't know if it gets like better. I like that you're learning more, but like it keeps quality.
It keeps you guessing.
Because you have no fucking clue.
Yeah, I have no idea. Because like the idea of it is that, you know, they're anthropomorphic animals in this like really cutesy town, and there is a murderer who's like a bear, or like a, what do they call him, serial killer?
Yeah.
But she normally goes outside the town to kill people so that people inside the town don't figure it out.
She goes into the city.
Yeah, she goes into the city. But then there's a serial killer that starts killing people in her town, and she decides that she needs to figure out who that is to like kill them.
So that it doesn't like come back on her.
Yeah, so that they don't find out that she's a serial killer. And I think, one, it's a fun idea. Two, just like the environment of everything is good. I like that the sheriff is like a dog with like those saggy faces. And I'm like,
he's like a
basset hound.
Basset hound. Yeah.
Which is like the perfect breed for like whatever they were doing. I have questions because dogs are still like pets and they look like dogs. You know, they don't look like anthropomorphic animals.
Yeah, dude. Like in the first issue, when she's like in the woods, there's like a wild bear.
Yeah, she sees a bear.
And so I'm like, I bet this will never be explained. It's just like...
It won't. I'm sure there's a... That's like a deliberate choice, you know? And maybe it's like we're all just beasts or whatever. Like, I don't know. But I enjoy that that's like a thing here. But in...
I hope it like it just, you know, we get the story. We find out who the villain is in like six or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very satisfying ending. And then they just leave that.
Yeah.
Like,
this
it,
all,
so, doesn't matter.
So far, it just feels like, you know, Dexter season one. In just like a cute anthropomorphic animal world.
Yeah.
You know, and I enjoy that aspect.
But it makes, you know, the murders and stuff like way more brutal because of how cutesy everything is.
Yeah.
Because it looks like a children's book.
Because in issue two, when somebody else dies, like her fingers get cut off and then her head's like on a spike pretty much.
Yeah. And dude, the first one, they were like, their sternum was like filleted and their ribs are ripped open.
It's crazy.
I'm like, fuck, dude, this is dark.
It is, yeah. And then like the cute stuff's so cute. There's like a little mole family and they have glasses. I'm like, are you kidding me? They're so cute.
Are you shitting me with this?
And I like that the friend, like the bear's friend, just like runs a hardware store, and so like his sales just go up knowing that there's like a murderer in the town, and he's like just been super busy selling like deadbolts and stuff.
Oh, I thought it was her store. No,
I think she works there, but it's like somebody else's store. I can't remember. Okay. But
yeah, like deadbolts and like all the security cameras and stuff go up like in sales.
And then like in the third issue, there's like a fake out on who the murderer was going to be. And I appreciate that too, because we're like, we're still guessing.
Pretty much. I still don't know what's going on there, but. Oh, no. It was explained.
Yeah, you get it explained. It is a little bit strange, but it's just someone grieving pretty much. But yeah, it's good. So I read those.
Cool.
Did you pick up anything this week? Is it just going
to
be?
No, I went to the shop today, but I just picked up stuff from last week.
Almost picked up Transformers number one again, thinking that it said number seven or something on it.
Yeah, a bunch.
But it's the fifth printing.
I saw that. Yeah,
that's crazy.
I was behind on like Transformers, so I got like 4, 5, and 6, which are reprints or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know which one, but. And then like Drew had like all these reprints of Transformers, and then all the reprints of like Godzilla versus Justice League versus Kong.
Oh, the connecting covers?
Yeah, the connecting covers.
Those are cool.
I was like,
if you
get all of them and like get like a special frame for that,
it would be worth it. That's the kind of series that I'd be like, look at this fucking shit right here.
So that was cool. So I already had those, but so a lot of reprints and stuff.
That's a great way to do a reprint, by the way.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Make all the reprints come out like in the same week, so people could just like get a bunch of them and catch up real quick. And if they're connecting, there's more incentive to like get more of them. Right. I like that strategy because I hate. When the monthly, like the current, you know, book is coming out monthly, and then like reprints will randomly come out monthly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just get confused because it'll be like issue 5 reprint, but the main book's on like 7. And I'm like,
if you don't have like CLZ, you know, it's like, very it's hard like to keep impossible. Track.
Yeah.
So did you read anything?
I read.
Or did you pick up anything else?
I read Ultimate X-Men number 1 by Peach Momoko.
Yeah.
Have you read that?
No.
It's great.
Great.
It doesn't even feel like an X-Men book, to its credit.
In a good way?
It feels like just American manga. Like, it feels like manga. Oh, cool. You know, there's like even like Japanese like characters and stuff that like get translated into like English and captions. So it just feels like manga. There's like weird, scary monster things that are representative of like depression or whatever. But they're like, they're fucked up and their eyes are like different. She's like a really good like manga horror artist, it feels like.
Yeah, I don't even really. I just know her covers and stuff, which are always like pretty cutesy.
I think she doesn't do a lot of interiors, and she's writing and drawing and coloring,
like, which is pretty cool.
It's very cool. So I'm really excited for the next one to come out, which I think is like next week. But it's coming out bi-monthly, so every 2 months it'll come out.
Okay,
which makes sense because she's doing a lot of shit for it. But like, there's no like.
I honestly prefer that with books.
I do too, honestly.
I'm like, I can fucking relax and like...
I don't have to read this.
I don't feel like peer pressure to keep buying it.
Well, you should. It's like, it's so good.
I will read that and catch up with that.
I was worried that there's going to be this like really, like pretty compelling story. And then at the end, like Wolverine would show up and just like kind of feel out of place. But that didn't happen. And so I really like the concept that they're going for so far.
So is it just kind of like... So it doesn't
it feels like
you
just picked up a random manga.
Okay. Does it feel like she like kind of gets to pick the characters that are in it and shit like that? Or...
Yeah. They're all original characters.
Okay.
Nobody that you recognize. There is like a power, but it's done in like a way that feels like it would just be like a manga. It's like a manga concept.
Okay.
You'll know what I mean if you like when you read it.
I'll let you know.
Yeah. But it's awesome. So I like that. And then I also read Batman Dark Age.
Nice.
By Mike Russell.
Mike Russell.
Is that his name?
No.
Kurt. No.
Kurt Russell, Nathan? No, Kurt Russell wrote this?
No.
The actor?
That's what I said to you last week, you fucker. Mark.
Wyatt Russell?
Mark Russell?
Yeah.
Okay.
We've read like more than one of his books on here.
They're all great.
Yeah.
This one's no exception.
You disrespectful bitch.
How many Mark Russell things we read? Superman, Space Age.
Yeah.
We read the DC one.
One Star Squadron.
Also great. So many things from him.
Not All Robots.
I forgot about that one. That's good too. He's great.
Very good.
This one, very good as well.
Good.
I'm confused on if it's like the same continuity as Space Age.
I think you have to like Google that. I think he mentioned if it is or it isn't, but I just don't know the answer.
I don't know. Did you read it?
No. Oh, okay. I got it today.
I like the direction it's going in either way. Like, I think it's very...
Does it feel like same vibes?
Yeah.
100%. Good.
Yeah. Because it's like, I think the appeal of Superman is that it was very like introspective, and he's like covering these like very big themes of like you know, the end of your life or whatever.
Yeah.
In there and in here.
And Batman's just like, justice.
For
Gotham.
I thought it would be like, you know, something similar to that. And it was just like a different perspective that makes more sense for Batman.
Okay.
But there's also a very interesting creative choice that I think it's like supposed to be in reference to like something that happened in history, but I don't know yet. And I kind of just want to like email him and be like, was this your intention?
So he did an episode of Word Balloon.
You
should check that out. It just came out.
I
haven't listened to it because I want to read it and then listen to it.
Okay.
So nothing spoiled.
Mike Allred's great. As always.
The best.
There's a really funny scene that it doesn't spoil anything, but someone's about to shoot Batman with a rocket launcher and then he gets hit by a train. But the way that he gets hit by a train, it looks like he just like bounces off and like shoots into the air. And I'm like, this is so silly that's how that would have happened apparently. Okay. But yeah, great Batman designs and shit like that.
Nice. So
pretty cool.
I read a book called Local Man.
Oh yeah. The Tim Seeley one.
Yeah. Tim Seeley and Tony Fleeks,
mm-hmm.
who's one of the creators of Stray Dogs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm about like 3 issues into it. And it's really cool. I like it a lot.
What's it about?
So it's about this guy. His name is Crossjack. No.
Sounds like a cool name.
I don't know. He's a superhero and they're in like the 90s or something. And he gets kicked off a superhero team for a reason that we find out at some point.
Xavier?
Yeah, Jack Xavier. It's like Blackjack or something. I don't know.
Crossjack.
It is Crossjack?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. So yeah, he gets fired, and because like the team, it's like third gen or something, they own like Crossjack, you know, like the copyright and stuff like that. And he's like banned from superheroing and like, you know, doing any detective work and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he just goes back to his hometown and lives with his parents. But there's been a murder, Nathan. He gets in a like a bar fight with like his old arch nemesis from his local hometown, you know, where he got his start. And then later that night, his arch nemesis gets murdered, Nathan.
And people think it's him?
Spoilers. Yeah. Some people think it's him.
Ooh.
And so one of the selling points of this book is that like, it's like based, I think it's based in the 90s or something. Cause it like, there's like some backup issues that look very 90s art, mm-hmm. or backup pages. And it like is supposed to interact with like 90s image comics.
It's supposed to interact with 90s image comics.
Yeah. So I guess
like, is there like an issue of Spawn or something in somewhere in the book?
I think it's going to come to that. But like, so when the dude's murdered, like the arch nemesis, he's murdered the same way that Ice Cream Guy is in Spawn. You remember how he was like wrapped up in chains and there's a sign on his stomach?
There's popsicle sticks inside of him?
No popsicle sticks in this one, the door was open and it looked the same. I'm like, this looks super familiar.
Oh, like it was an homage to that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it was really cool. And so I think this is supposed to be like just some book that they're framing as if it was coming out at the same time as that.
That's funny.
And so I think there'll be more like 90s.
Like just references and stuff.
Yeah, references and like just interactions and stuff.
Okay, that's fun.
And so
they just came out with like a spinoff of that, I think.
Of what?
Of Local Man.
Yeah. It's like
This week?
It's like Bad Girls or something. Yeah, last week.
There's a bunch of hot babes on the cover.
Yeah, I think that's some of the hot babes that are on the third gen team or whatever.
But it must mean it's popular if they're doing like a spinoff series or whatever.
Yeah, so. No. So I heard good things. It looks cool. I never get sick of just like a new like superhero like universe.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's just like you're plopped in.
Yeah, especially if there's like an interesting perspective like there.
Yeah.
Is the part where he like loses the ownership to like his character, like his superhero name?
Yeah.
Is that supposed to be like reference to how like the industry works or whatever? Like if you create a character, it's not really yours kind of deal. Does it seem like he was trying to like parody that in any way or? Because that seems like a very interesting choice.
A little. I kind of felt like more like The Boys, you know, just how that like there's all like legal stuff with that.
Okay.
It's like a one page thing. Like it's not a big deal.
Okay.
So, it's cool. I'm probably going to finish that.
Nice.
And then maybe I think the second trade just came out like this week. I saw it at the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Second or third. I think it's on number 14 or something. So.
Oh, cool.
I think it's still coming out. I'm not sure.
That sounds fun.
And pretty good. Did you watch anything Or nothing. You talked about what you read, right?
Yeah.
Did you watch anything?
Nothing new.
Nothing new?
Continuing Invincible and Game of Thrones. That's pretty much it.
We watched Revenge of the Sith, Nathan.
Ooh, good movie.
Good movie. My favorite.
You told me that at some point this week, and then I quizzed Sarah on what the title of the movie they watched was, and she got it wrong.
She's like, The Empire Strikes Back.
And you're like, no.
Because, like, she was having, like, a lot of fucking trouble with, like, the order of these things.
It's hard, dude.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, because she says, like, the old one. I'm like, all right, it's original trilogy. The prequels.
Yep.
She's like, what the fuck? I'm like, mm-hmm. The prequels, they came out later, but that's 1, 2, and 3, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. And then the sequel stuff. And so I did a thing that I don't think anyone would really like. But so her assignment was to watch Phantom Menace like a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And then her new assignment was to watch Revenge of the Sith.
So she skipped the second movie?
She skipped 2. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even remember what it's called.
Clone Wars?
Attack of the Clones?
Attack of the Clones?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just like, there's Count Dooku. He cut off his arm. He gets with Padme.
Mm-hmm. Grievous.
There's probably some other stuff. Grievous isn't in 2.
He's in the third one?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then 2 has the big scene.
What big scene?
Where the three of them are like chained up to a pole and then they
fight just monsters. That's just cool stuff.
Yeah. It's important.
Yeah, yeah. But this one, I think, kind of sparked something for her. Like, I think she's starting to, like, get it.
Ooh.
Yeah, she's like, because she was asking questions. She's like, why does he not like Obi-Wan at the end of this? Like, why does he kill him later? I'm like, that's a great question that you just have to wait and watch, you know, as we were watching it.
Who doesn't like Obi-Wan? Anakin?
Anakin, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so she's, like, getting that, like, binging kind of bug kind of mm-hmm, thing. She just wants to know what happens, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm like, no, you have to wait for me.
Wow.
So, yeah. And wow, it was so fun watching this through like fresh eyes. You know, I'm sure I've said this every time I watch one of the movies, but like Order 66 comes out and she's like, does he kill kids? And I'm like, I just let the scene play out. She's like, he kills kids? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, he's fucked up.
I don't think she's ready for me to start sending her youngling memes or anything.
Yeah, no, but not quite. But you're like, he lost his way. He was supposed to be the chosen one.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, as like everything's playing out, she's like, I'm going to beat the fuck out of Anakin. Like, she gets really personal about it.
You know? Yeah.
She's very attached and definitely doesn't like Anakin.
That's hilarious.
And so, yeah, good movie. That's still my favorite. I totally like.
Of all the Star Wars movies?
Yeah.
Whoa. That's pretty good.
That was that was the only one the first one I saw in theaters.
Best score, I think.
Well, they bring back Duel of Fates for that one, for the Obi-Wan fight.
Oh, it didn't originate there? Or it did in Phantom Menace?
No, that's from Phantom Menace.
Oh, okay.
So I just kind of automatically put Phantom Menace first.
Okay, that's what I'm, yeah.
But yeah, good movie. And I don't know what's next. I think we got to watch some like cartoons or something.
Weren't you supposed to watch like Solo or something?
Solo, and I think Rogue One's in there. And so
Rogue One's great.
Very good. I'm excited to rewatch that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we watched Godzilla X Kong, Nathan.
Yeah.
The New Empire.
I am jealous.
The New Empire? Yeah, something like that.
I think that was the last one, wasn't it?
The Frozen Empire.
The crossover.
Yeah. Dude, this movie fucking rips.
The New Empire.
The New Empire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what she said?
It's a fucking blast.
Is it? Okay, that's good.
I think I
liked the last one quite a bit.
I like it more than that.
Really?
And I just watched that one.
Whoa. You know,
so it's very fresh.
Okay. That's big.
Not a perfect movie, and there's a lot of things wrong with it, but it's so much fun.
I mean, it's not going to be like Shawshank Redemption, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No. I like hear everyone's like criticisms of it, but I do not care. Because like I'm like, this movie is so much fun. You have to like let it be fun.
What's fun about it is that... Is it the fact that it's just absurd or like what they do with the absurdity is creative, you know?
Both.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's just like they like hone in on like the best parts of this stuff, you know? And then, you know, they're kind of lacking in, you know, the parts that don't really matter that much, like dialogue or
story,
human element or whatever.
Yeah, I heard that some of that human element was kind of just focused on Kong for this one. Would you agree with that? That's just what
I
heard.
Kong's like a person. Like,
cool.
I hesitate to show like Sarah, like, you know, the Godzilla movie, you know, the Bryan Cranston, Bryan, or okay. like King of the Monsters, because like I think she just likes Kong, honestly, because they make him like so likable and like.
Did you
loving.
Watch Skull Island?
No, not with her. She probably liked that one.
I think she would like that one.
That's a good movie.
Yeah,
yeah, it's like scary a little.
Yeah,
but cool. Yeah, Sarah loves awesome. It, so that's a good sign.
Yeah, I wish I ended up seeing it with you, but now the plan is Monday, so I'll be able to talk about it more in depth.
There you go.
Next week, but that's cool. I'm glad it's good.
Yeah,
because there is in my head like a 50-50 chance that it was like. Really good and really fun, or like really stupid and really fun, you know?
It's like both.
So yeah, I guess both happen, but like stupid and like oh, they're not doing another one of these.
What makes it better is like I like invite Dom, right? Because you gotta watch Godzilla movies with Dom.
He's got a lot of action.
Yeah, but. and Sarah wanted to go because she's like the last one, but we're just kind of like, I think we just saw a movie, so we're just like, oh, I guess we'll go see this or whatever. Yeah. And then it was, we were just like, after we were so glad we watched it.
You're so jazzed.
Know? Like, let's go. You'll like it.
I'm excited to watch it.
And then Invincible, Nathan.
Invincible. God, what are you, it feels like forever since I watched it.
He goes to Comic-Con.
Nathan. He goes to Comic-Con, and I think that's Ryan Otley.
Yeah, but he's named something else in there. But like,
dude, Tim Robinson voiced that dude.
Really? Oh, yeah. That's funny.
Isn't that crazy?
That's cool. I like that.
Because I was trying to be like, what does Ryan Otley sound like again? I was like, it'd be crazy if he voice acted for this, but no, it's Tim Robinson, which is awesome.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
But it's definitely like, that's supposed to be Ryan Otley, right?
Yeah, it looks just like
I think he made it his profile picture somewhere.
And then
the artist.
And then they have like, you know, the thing where he's talking about the shortcuts that they have in animation.
I love how it translates so well to like this medium, and like they did it to fit like animation rather than like comics and stuff.
Yeah, because they do that with the comics where they just talk about reusing panels and stuff like that.
Yeah, or like showing angles where people aren't moving their mouths, or like you can't see people moving their mouths and shit. I think it was hilarious.
When he like has his hand up to his mouth, I'm like, oh my God.
So or dope. When he was like, sometimes they do like a large pan shot where you see a big crowd of people, but nobody's moving, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's funny.
Oh, that's funny.
And then
Anissa.
Thank you. Shows up. She's mm-hmm. very sinister.
Mark gets fucking whooped.
So it wasn't Amber whose life was threatened in the comic, was it? Is that what I saw? By Anissa showing up? Wasn't it like Debbie?
Probably Debbie.
Okay, I don't know if you remember that.
Amber has been around way longer than she was in the show, in the book, because I barely remember Amber as a character, you know?
I like the length. I like how long she's, you know,
tied. Yeah, no, she's good. It makes sense.
Yeah.
And I like Zazie Beetz and shit. So.
Yeah, she's very good. Yeah, I think Amber is really, really strong in this. But yeah, Anissa's crazy.
Yeah, she's insane. But then, like, it does, like, that, I think it's more of, like, a Robert Kirkman thing to where, like, the villain's starting to make some sense, you know? Or is, like, convincing, you know?
I was kind of convinced, low-key. I was like,
oh, maybe she should take over.
She's kind of spitting right now. She's, like, when they're talking in the air, I'm like, she's making a lot of good points right now. I don't know.
The coolest fucking shit is when she flies through the kaiju and then she stops so quickly that all the blood, like, flies off it.
Oh, my God. So, like, sick.
Oh, fuck. And he's struggling really cool. with this thing.
Yeah, he's, like, punching it and she just flew straight through it.
That was the hardest shit.
I'm also impressed at like how close they keep like some of the creature designs and stuff to like what the comic was.
Has there been like comparisons?
Whenever stuff comes out each episode, I just like go to Ryan Otley's page because he normally posts like when he did it versus when the show did it.
Yeah.
And like that big kaiju monster, totally the same thing.
I really should just like read the book as like the episodes come out, you know?
Yeah.
It'd like be kind of fun.
It'd be kind of hard.
Yeah, because it's like,
yeah, they skip through, you know, some stuff. Obviously they're not going to do like everything bar for bar, but that whole fight scene, super fun. What I think maybe convinced me the most is when she was like pretty much talking about like the ozone's all fucked up and like humanity won't survive very long, and Mark's like, yeah, we're working on that. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, damn, yeah, she's got a good point there. I don't know.
Yeah, because I like forgot about how like not all the Viltrumites are just like kill, take over, you know, that some have like some different opinions and stuff.
Yeah.
And then at all about like the goal or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
And then like Mark takes a pretty big risk of being like, you would have killed me already if you needed me. So just like do it right now, you know, kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
and then some cool Alan Alien stuff. I'm excited to see what that turns out to be, because I don't know.
Because, like, he gets captured on purpose, but I'm like, I feel like he could have just fought that out and then went on his way.
Yeah.
But then he decides to be captured and go on, like, a Viltrumite ship that has however many Viltrumites on it, which would seem like a much harder situation to get out of.
It would be, but I think he was testing the waters a little bit with Anissa.
Yeah.
And he didn't really get hurt all that much, and so he's like, okay.
The fact that he made her bleed, I'm like, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, I know. I was like, damn, it's a big deal. And then...
Invincible couldn't do that.
Also, Donald's on, like, some crazy arc as well. Because he's going through a lot. And he's like, I've died, like, 39 times that I know about. You know?
He was, like, the most, like, insignificant character. And then, like, he's, like...
He's got such a sick arc in here. I'm like... Yeah, every time I see a scene with Donald, like, something sad happens to him, I'm like, dude, poor Donald, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, he's cool. I like his character.
Definitely.
Good stuff.
So, what are we reading next week, Nathan?
What are we gonna read next week?
We're doing a book with Sarah, right?
We are.
Kill or Be Killed?
Correct.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the deluxe edition downstairs.
I did. It's a thick boy.
It's beautiful.
You've had that for some time, or did you just get it?
I got it when it came out, yeah.
Okay,
which
nice.
Was like a couple years ago.
So that's everything.
It's everything.
That's awesome.
And it's so like reading it's everything. Like, it's like bigger.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's like a little bit bigger, and it's nice.
Cool.
Big fan.
Just first trade of that?
Yeah, it's only 4 issues.
The first trade?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I think it's like 120 pages or something like that.
Love that.
So.
And works because we tried to do Night Fever by the same team. Is that why you corrupted the file? Because you knew we were going to read this a couple weeks later?
No, I would never corrupt a file.
Yeah, I know.
That was so much work to catch back up.
Yeah.
No, because she's like...
So this is the book that you selected because you think Sarah will like it.
Yeah. I was like, what do you want to read? She's like, oh, something that's like got like crime in it. I'm like, cool. She's like, or something a little scary. I'm like, I got something.
I got both.
I'm like, do I have the book for you?
Yeah. I love this book, dude. I'm excited to reread it because I haven't touched it since I finished it.
Yeah. So. No, it's very, I like read the trade already. Mm-hmm. And it's like super refreshing to get back into. I'm like, should I just reread this whole thing?
Yeah. Ooh, should I get a little silly?
It's so good.
Yeah.
I wonder like how I'll feel about it. I'll probably feel like kind of the same about it as a reread. But like when I was reading this trade, I was kind of reading it with her in mind and how she would feel about it. And
so far, so good.
I hope she likes it.
Yeah, I hope so too. I think it's good.
I think it. The first trade does a good job of being like, I have to see where this goes kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. Because the original one's like 27 issues or something.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I'm excited.
Me too.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, dog.
Is it your birthday right now? That's when this releases?
No.
It's the a couple days after this releases.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Nice.
We'll be partying when this comes out.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for watching. Go check out the link tree. Like, comment, subscribe, stuff like that.
Yep.
Give us a thumbs up for my birthday. How about that?
Big old thumbs up.
That'd be great.
We would like that.
5 stars is even better.
Yeah. That's like 5 thumbs up.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of thumbs.
Mm-hmm. Tell us what you thought of Godzilla.
Tell us if you've read Trouble.
Yeah. Tell us if you'd even heard of it. Because I did not.
Help me pick my next year's book. What is like the worst comic you've ever read? What's something you fucking hate?
But with like the best creative team.
Yeah. All right.
Peace out.
Later. Bye.